Hi, welcome to the Gridiron Gurus podcast for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside my colleague Drew Bonifant, and we're joined this week by Madison High School football coach Scott Franzosi. Scott, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
We're on Facebook Live again this week, so if you're joining us there, thank you. And if you're listening on the podcast later on, thank you as well. Last week was week one. Drew, what did we learn?
I think we saw a bit of a shakeup in kind of the powers around the state. Some defending champions from last year that I think people expect to be really strong this year lost. Brunswick getting shut out was an example that stood out. And I think we just saw that it's going to be a pretty competitive race around the class. It's going to be an interesting fight.
I agree. Coach, what did you learn about your team, if anything, that maybe you were unsure of going into week one at Foxcroft Academy?
Well, probably sounds a little silly because I know a lot of people have been talking about it. We ran for a lot of yardage.
Yeah.
Conversely, we only threw for about 12, so we want to try to find a little bit more balance. But found out, I think, you know, that we're gelling. You know, we're playing good team defense, obviously capable of running the ball. We got to do it every week. So, you know, guys are stepping up. We're seeing that this week. It's early. I think, like Drew just said, it's going to be – our conference is going to be very interesting. Yeah. You know, we're going into a Dirigo game where – two very good teams. You know, we watched them last week. So a lot of shakeup this year, I think. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Let's look at your team a little longer. You guys are known for running a spread offense. And a lot of people think of that immediately as, oh, pass, pass, pass.
Yes.
You know, for a while, you guys have run very well out of it, as you proved last week with 483 yards out of just three guys. So talk about the way you kind of – you guys utilize that pistol spread offense.
It was spread nowadays, you know, and I know a lot of guys, a lot of coaches. It's a broad word now, you know, spread offense. You know, the main reason we use spread is we like to create bubbles, like a lot of other coaches. We want to be able to move defenses, you know, move formations. The primary thing we do, a lot of people see it, we're a two-back system. You know, we are a two-back run system. We've gradually turned into a three-back system with our quarterback runs. So first and foremost, that's what we're looking to do, you know. Joking with Coach White last week, we're both quarterback guys. We both play quarterback. If you're going to run the ball, you know, if you can run it, why pass? So that's what we're looking to do first, you know. So really, we use that to get to our run game first. And then it's the screen game. You know, on the screen, I joke with my guys, if we can throw the ball 15 yards and get a big play there, we're plugging it right into the run game, you know, because that's a high percentage thing. So, you know, spreading the field really is more to manipulate a defense than it is to get away from what we do. And we're going to run the ball first. And we luckily have three more very capable backs this year. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Talk about the spread. I mean, it seems like it's different at this level versus the higher levels, where you get to the higher levels and the spread is a way to move the ball through the air. And often when you talk to coaches, they seem to go to a spread offense at this point because it seems to suit the personnel better. It's a little simpler of a scheme to learn. I mean, is that kind of how you've seen it developed that point so far?
Not necessarily with us, but I understand that point of view. You know, and some coaches do that, you know, because people, it's been a long, when Coach Friedman first came to Madison, when Matt and I were coaching together, was, you know, spreading the field. A lot of people, I do feel like, you know, I love my community. They come from an era where they want four fullbacks and three tight ends.
Sure.
So if it looks a little bit different, they think, well, geez, you know, you're not running power, you're not doing those things. And we do all of those things. We run our GT scheme very well. We run power. We do also use it for pass, like a lot of other teams do. To spread the field and throw the ball. Doesn't mean we don't have the capability. First half at Foxcroft, for example, we attempted 9 passes. You know, not as successful. I think Foxcroft did a great job of pressing us and taking it away. But those capabilities are in there. We talk first about moving the chains instead of big play. But it's definitely a big part of what you do. I know some teams do utilize the pass a little more. We're a little different. You know, maybe like some other teams who we're going to run first, establish that first, but have the possibility to pass, you know.
This year, your team is back in the Campbell Conference for the first time since 2010. It's where Madison traditionally was, where the school had a lot of success in the 70s, 80s, early 90s. You were a player on some of those teams in the 80s.
Yes.
Talk about what it means for Madison to be back in against some of the old rivals that had just kind of fallen off the schedule in the last few years.
Yeah, it's a lot of people are excited about it. I know a lot of people, they see our schedule and we use Facebook at times, for example, social media, a lot of people posting, they're excited about it because we haven't seen the Dirigos in a while and the Winthrops. And yes, I grew up in that era when we were old MVC at the time before it became Campbell. And it was the Dirigos, the Jays, and the Livermores before they consolidated. you know, it's a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a double-edged sword, you know, but it's, you know, we're excited to be in a new conference and to try to rebuild some of these old rivalries. At the same time, it's new. You know, the Big Ten was familiar with us. Continuity means a lot when you know what to expect every year. We were building some pretty good rivalries there with the Foxcrofts and Winslows and MDIs. But this, I think, is a little bit more familiar, you know, to some people. I think also because, you know, we're Class C in basketball and baseball, so we play a lot of that MVC schedule, which is similar to Campbell. But it's, you know, people are excited. They like it. It's more the logistics fit. You know, it's a lot of Central Maine teams that we all grew up on and we live around. So it's going to be, people are excited, and I am as well. I think it's going to be a great challenge.
What's the longest trip you guys make this year? Was it just the one you made to Foxcroft?
No, we have Wells coming up in a couple
weeks. Oh, yeah, that's
a
good
one. That's going to be, that'll be about 2.5 by bus. And, you know, lucky for Tim, he gets to have us come to him this year. Other than that, I think we have Oak Hill on the road and Spruce Mountain. So, you know, it definitely fits travel-wise, you know. But number one is the competition. I mean, I'm more excited about not just the rivalries, but this is a conference we want to play in. Mm-hmm. We want to play where we feel we belong and we have to truly compete. Sometimes there is that. I think even BJ, Coach Lippert mentioned it last week, or somebody recently, that stepping down a class, people think you're just naturally going to win. That's not – as a matter of fact, I think it might have been Tim at Wells had mentioned it, that that's not how it works, you know. But I like the competitiveness in this conference. Despite the rivalries and the, obviously logistically districts, you know, like that stuff, less travel, sure, less money, that type of stuff. Yeah.
What challenges does Zirigo present you guys this week?
They're, you know, it's early, and that's the thing about the, like, for lack of a better term, a double-edged sword is just not being familiar with these teams. We haven't seen them, and we're in a new conference. Looking at them last week, they're big, they're physical, you know, they have a they have some upperclassmen on the line. They move their line very well. I know Coach Hersom loves to run counter schemes, some counter lead ISO stuff. They have a great back in Cooper Chasen. He's you know, he's a big physical guy that can move. So they, you know, they're, I don't want to say simple. Nothing about what any of us do is simple.
Sure.
They, you know, they're in their package. They like what they do. It's four or five plays, and they do it very well. So we, I think they're going to present a physical challenge for us this week. And they've got some athletes. They played a very good Mountain Valley team, and I think a 12-0 game with maybe some turnovers was might give people the wrong impression. I think they're two very good teams. Zirigo is going to be a team to watch this year, definitely.
We talked at the start of this about the competitiveness with D South, and did your perception about that change after week one? I mean, one thing that stood out to me was how Wells handled that game against Winthrop Monmouth. I thought that was going to be a more competitive game than it ended up being. Mm. I mean, do you look at that and say, like, oh, my God, here are the Class C champs down here and taking it to a team like they did? Mm-hmm. Or do you still think it's looking like it's going to pan out to be as kind of deep and as competitive as people were saying at the beginning?
I believe, and I'm sure that raised some eyebrows, you know, because mm-hmm. we look at what Winthrop did last year. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach St. Hilaire and I, we just recently talked at the MPA meeting. They came down last year during the bye week and scrimmaged us. You know, they had, for whatever reason, you know, Trape dropping out, they had a bye week and then a bye week. So they were chomping at the bit. They wanted mm-hmm. to play. So we did a little controlled scrimmage, and I can tell you right now that they came to town and they handed it to us on a lot of levels. That was a very good Winthrop team, well-coached, physical, fundamental, you name it. That being said, whether it's them, you know, Winthrop, Oak Hill, Wells, you know, we all graduate. And they, all three of them graduated big classes. But they're still Winthrop, and they're still Oak Hill, and these are story traditions and Wells. So I think, you know, as I don't want to say it's week one as well. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. it's kind of getting your feet under you. That's why we play the games, right? You know, on any given Friday for us, not Sunday. Right. But it's, I think it's going to balance out in the end, because when I look at this, a lot of teams want to, a lot of people want to give the ratings and the preseason prognostication, and this is a very deep conference, you know, and I think all three of them, there might be some maybe rebuilding process. Some of those programs I mentioned, I think, reload a little bit more than they rebuild. So I don't think that'll be much of a shock. Again, that might have raised some eyebrows, but I think in the end, over an 8-week season, it's going to be a battle for all of us, you know.
Yeah. We talk about competitive balance. This week, 17 of the 38 games in the state were shutouts. That's almost half.
Yes.
Some were closer games, like that Zirigo Mountain Valley game mm-hmm. that you mentioned, Coach, and some weren't. Some pretty big blowouts, which seems to always be the case. Part of the reason the Maine Principal Association went to the five classes this year with the Class E for, you know, schools trying to develop was to kind of get more competitive balance. And yet we see, you know, half the games are shutouts this week. Is there come to a point where there's just not any more you can do? And teams, they are what they are.
Yes, a little bit of a loaded question, you know, because I, you know, Mike Haley, Dan O'Connell, some great guys, great coaches, great, just great football guys that support, you know, the Maine Football Coaches Association. We had met in the during the winter to discuss the MPA proposal. I know guys like Mike Hathaway work very hard on giving input there.
Right.
You know, and I feel a lot of us felt it was a very good proposal, a counter proposal they put on paper. The MPA, you know, makes the decisions that they make. So it's kind of hard to say. Sometimes it feels like there wants to be a political discussion about it. I mean, it's hard not to feel like what else can you do? You know, it's always you've got to believe it's with the best intent to try to create competitiveness, but also keep people where they belong. You know, look at a Camden who's playing down it, and I listened to their AD. We've played them. They were actually in the Big Ten with us, you know, a few years ago. Now, they might be a big school. However, you know, the things that people don't see is with a big enrollment, not quite that type of support, you know, because they're such a big school with so many fall sports that numbers are down. And also, you know, once you start talking developmental, now funds aren't there. So there are so many different factors that weigh in there. You know, at the end of the day, you kind of just have to say it seems like everybody's trying to work in the best interest. And you can put it on paper all you want. You know, then we show up and play. Sometimes you're surprised. Sometimes, you know, all isn't quite what it seems. I mean, I believe that everybody's making their best effort to make the best decisions, and, you know, and then in the end, it just kind of falls where it does. I can't say I feel there's one particular thing anybody can do better. As long as we're all communicating, feeling like they're taking our input and trying to do what's best for programs and for kids and for football, really.
On the flip side, there were a lot of teams this week that won their first game in a while. Nacoma snaps a two-year losing streak. Waterville, Saucapee Valley won their first varsity game after losing the first 40 and then going to a JV schedule for a few years. So there's some programs that are obviously on the rise. Just, you know, I think it's just the natural order of football is you're going to always have a few blowouts a week. There's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, well, you know, really, if you go to our game, you know, if you look at Madison and Foxcroft in week one, a lot of people are feeling that Foxcroft is a favorite coming out of the North. I believe that. I think they're a very talented team. Even in a game like that, final score 49-28. At one point, I believe it was 35-7. Did anyone really feel going into that game that Madison would be up by that point? You know, so there's a kind of a give and a take. You know, I think really in a lot of cases, you could apply that to a lot of different games. You know, so that was encouraging to see that it feels like maybe that's where it works, right? When you see these programs that might be where they need to be, they're seeing some success, so that's good. But, you know, just as a quick example, I look at our game and say, well, did anybody really think that we're going to go over and ring up that many points against those guys? You just never know. Mm-hmm. You know, two very good teams, and I would not be surprised when Dan and I shook hands, you know, wink, wink, hopefully we see each other in November. You know, so you just never know. Two very good teams, and in the end, that looked a little bit like a blowout, you know.
And a really big player, too, you know, like Sean Whalen turned a kick for you guys for a score.
Kincaid, it's not always about the numbers. You know, you got to kind of see the beginning and the end and the end to the means and all of that stuff. And
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, just to kind of build on that point that you made, where it just seems to be kind of in the nature of football, where you can get two teams that on paper one might be a good team and another one might be a good team. Seems like they should have a competitive game, but you know, if Team A has an A offensive line and Team B has a B plus or an A minus defensive line, well, that's going to be a match, but always goes the offense's favor, so they're always going to be able to move the ball.
Yes,
I wonder if that's what was on display in the Wells game, 4-6 over Winthrop Monmouth, if that was on display in the Skowhegan loss, 55-12. Is that kind of how you've seen it go in football so many times, where it kind of makes it tough to always guarantee yourself one score, two score games, because that just is the way it
plays out.
Yeah,
one big mismatch can make itself apparent quickly.
And that's the perfect example, Drew, is that when you're looking at, we all preach that, you know, and we call it cliche because it's true. The offensive line, defensive line, that's where it begins. So you have to get it done. So when you have, for an example, an offensive line that does mismatch a defensive line, then, yeah, you know, that can easily happen. A case in point, I have not seen them, but I've talked to a couple of coaches, Winslow this year. Now, I know Winslow graduated a lot of very skilled players. Last year, a talented line, but a rebuilding line. You know, they had a lot of seniors graduated. And from what I hear, matter of fact, again, BJ, I believe, was talking about it last week, people are amazed how big, physical they are. So you can kind of maybe develop guys behind them if you can start there. Sometimes you can have all the skills you want, but if you're not getting it done up front, there's frustration there. So you can, when that happens, yeah, you could probably see some glaring inadequacies, I guess, you know, along there.
Sure.
Wells running over anybody? Well, they're very good at what they do.
Yeah.
They always are, no matter who they put there. Again, they're kind of a little bit of a system program there. You know, they don't rebuild so much as reload.
Let's look at a couple of the games this week, Coach. We already talked about yours. Drew, what are two or three maybe games that you're looking forward to this weekend?
One is definitely Coney and Skowhegan, because those are two teams that you always kind of figure are going to be near each other in B North and B battling each other off of playoff spots, and they're both coming off tough losses. Coney lost to Falmouth 41-19. Skowhegan lost that game I just mentioned 55-12. So I have a feeling this is going to be a game where the teams are going to be at the end of the season and look back and say, boy, that win over Coney or that win over Skowhegan really made the difference. And it always seems to come down that way. And I think this, even in week two, this is going to be a game that continues to linger in the standings. And another game is Gardner and Cape Elizabeth. It's Gardner's second game in Class C. They won last week against Morse, and they looked really confident doing it. They on defense, they hit. They were loud on the sidelines, and they just seemed to know from the start that they were going to win that game. And now they're going up against a team in Cape Elizabeth that was great last year. It's coming off a 48-0 win of its own. Is that confidence going to still be there? It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
How are you?
The big one in the Waterville area this weekend is the return of the Winslow-Lawrence rivalry. It's been 27 years since they've played a game that counted for something. And back when they played in the old PTC, those were some of the best games going, where they play in the last game of the regular season very tight. 2 weeks later, they might meet again in the Pine Tree Conference championship game, which for a while was a state championship game in Class B. That's one nice thing about these new scheduling this year, is these cross-class games can bring back rivalries like that. None of these kids are even old enough to remember that, but they've heard the stories, I'm sure, and seen the trophies and heard the gold ball tales, and want to make their mark on it. Another one, Kennebunk at Messalonskee. Messalonskee's coming off a big shutout win, 23-0 at Brunswick. This week they get the other state championship team from last year in Class B, in Kennebunk, who lost to Brunswick in the state game. Kennebunk returning a lot of players. I think 9 players on each side of the ball. Should be another good test for the Eagles. Any games that you're looking forward to that you're not involved with?
I think you mentioned a lot of them right there. Winslow and Lawrence, that's one where, Madison originally, no disrespect, the old timers, right? My brother was one of them, 72 state championship. They were a big rival back then when we added Winslow, Winslow, Lawrence, all of them when they played PTC. We had the big thing last year where I don't think we had beaten Winslow since 77. Somebody told me, of course, we hadn't played him in a long time.
Right.
Probably the last time we played him was late 70s. Kennebunk and Messalonskee, a lot of the ones that you just mentioned. Gardner, they seem to be a very interesting team. It's nice to see. They were with us PTCB back around 2012, 2013.
True.
Maybe had some few down years, and it seems like they've really rebuilt some confidence there. And a lot of good ones in the Central Main area, actually, this week, I think. So, it's going to be – you mentioned most of them. On our schedule, in my conference, I'm waiting to see film on Oak Hill and all these teams. We'll see how they pan out. I think you mentioned a lot of the biggest ones right there.
Okay.
I really feel like that Messalonskee game kind of sent some shockwaves throughout the state. I mean, they were favorite coming into this year, and they kind of showed it. Brunswick was a team that made every game look easy last year, and so it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, a lot of heads turned, wouldn't they? Not that Messalonskee won, but by the score that they won by
the margin. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Whatever game you get out to, enjoy it. For Drew, I'm Travis. Thank you, Scott Franzosi, for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week on the Gridiron Gurus.